A Small Town Girl by Diana Anyango. In Diana Anyango's novel A Small Town Girl, the story unfolds in the rural town of Iyugas, Kenya, where the protagonist, Lucy Akinyi, has returned to her childhood home to recover from a series of personal tragedies. The narrative explores themes of traditional societal expectations, the pursuit of justice for the vulnerable, the lingering trauma of military service, and the redemptive power of love, Part 1, The Weight of Tradition and the Pain of the Past. The story begins with Akinyi feeling the immense weight of her community's expectations. Her grandmother's favorite saying, "The pride of a woman is to get married," haunts her daily routines. After an exhausting morning of chores, her mother, Nyakasumo, confronts her, urging her to return to Nairobi because there are no opportunities in their hellhole of a town. However, Akinyi is hiding from the wreckage of her former life. Her six-year relationship with David Oko ended abruptly on the day she expected a proposal. She lost her job, and she was haunted by a tragedy involving a young girl named Kadogo. Nyakasumo and Akinyi's aunts are relentless in their pressure for her to marry and have children, believing that a woman's success is meaningless without a husband. Nyakasumo specifically worries that at nearly 30, Akinyi is running out of time and bachelors in a town where most eligible men are either related, making marriage a taboo, or are school dropouts who spend their lives on drugs and alcohol at the Agawo Center. Despite the pressure, Akinyi holds onto a Prince Charming dream, which her mother dismisses as the stuff of soap operas and romance novels. Akinyi's heartbreak over David is still raw. She remembers him as a handsome man in uniform whose smile made her heart race. He had delayed their engagement for 6 years, claiming he needed to pay his siblings' school fees first. On her 29th birthday, instead of proposing, he broke up with her, calling her tough-headed and too independent to be a submissive wife. Part 2, The Arrival of Adams Okol. The monotony of town life is disrupted by the arrival of a mysterious, wealthy stranger in a Prado. Akinyi's friend, Adiambo, is immediately enamored, describing him as the most handsome man she has ever seen. While walking home from the market, the two women are approached by this man, who offers them a lift. The man is Adams Okol, a tall, muscular, bald man with a beard and smoky brown eyes. While Adiambo jumps into the car eagerly, Akinyi is hesitant and skeptical, even jokingly accusing him of being a kidnapper. Adams reveals he is building a ranch near the local Catholic church. Despite her reservations about men in uniform, a category she soon discovers Adams belongs to, Akinyi is undeniably attracted to him, a feeling that only intensifies when he acts as a perfect gentleman. Adams, a 35-year-old retired soldier, has come to Iyugas seeking peace after 15 years in the army. He is wealthy but lonely, having lost his mother to depression while he was away on military operations, an event for which his father and brother, Seth, still blame him. Adams is also trying to untangle himself from a long-term mistress named Linda, realizing that casual encounters no longer satisfy his need for a deep connection. Part 3, The Quest for Justice and the Assault. Akinyi's desire to find purpose leads her to champion the rights of children. She learns from village gossip that Achoya, a man in his 60s known for rumors of witchcraft, has impregnated a wino, a 13-year-old neighbor. Akinyi is horrified to find that the community, including the local chief, is willing to ignore the crime to maintain good neighborliness, or out of fear of Okola's rogue sons. Haunted by her failure to save Kadogo, a girl at an orphanage who committed suicide after being defiled by her own father, Akinyi resolves to fight for a wino. She visits Awino's mother, who is tall, emaciated, and hopeless, believing she has no choice but to marry her daughter off to the perpetrator. After hearing Awino's harrowing account of the assault and Okola's subsequent threats, Akinyi bypasses the dismissive and misogynistic officers at the police station to report the crime directly to the OCS. Akinyi's interference triggers a violent backlash. One morning, Okola's five burly sons and a group of Boda Boda motorists surround her home, armed with pangas and hammers. Despite her mother's terror, Akinyi stands her ground. The confrontation turns brutal when Okola's eldest son slaps Akinyi and throws her into the mob. Adams, driving by, hears the screams and intervenes. Using his military training, he single-handedly disarms the mob and beats them back, leaving the attackers to scramble away in pain. He finds Akinyi unconscious in a pool of blood and rushes her to Matata Hospital. Part 4, Recovery and Rising Tensions. During Akinyi's recovery, Adams is a constant, supportive presence, even paying her hospital bills without her knowledge. Their mutual attraction grows, though Akinyi remains guarded, repeatedly telling herself never to trust a man with a gun again. Her grandmother, the town healer, notices the spark between them and encourages the match, noting that Adams is a testosterone bomb. Once she is healed, Akane visits Adams's nearly completed mansion and is overwhelmed by his physical presence and the care he has put into his property. They share a moment of intense chemistry while dancing to rumba music, which leads to their first kiss, a moment that leaves Akane both soaring and terrified of another heartbreak. However, conflict arises at home. Akane's father had planted a forest of 10,000 trees 10 years prior, which is now a gold mine. Akane wants to sell the timber to improve their lives, but her mother and grandmother are adamantly opposed, calling it blood money. Nyakasumo believes her uncle Okul killed her husband using black magic because of those trees, and she fears the same fate for her daughter. Despite their warnings, Akane stubbornly proceeds with the sale, earning 10 million shillings and becoming the talk of the town. Part 5, Tragedy and the Fake Marriage. The narrative takes a dark turn when Nyakisumo's health rapidly declines. Adams helps Akane take her to the hospital, where they receive a devastating diagnosis, stage 4 stomach cancer. With only 2 months to live, Nyakisumo makes a final dying wish. She wants to see Akane married so her father's generation does not fizzle out. Desperate to appease her mother, Akane approaches Adams with a startling proposal, a marriage, in name only, that will last only until her mother passes away. Adams is initially hurt and offended by the request, refusing to be a temporary husband or a tool to appease a dying woman. However, after reflecting on his own loneliness and his deep feelings for Akane, he changes his mind. He visits Nyakisumo and asks for Akane's hand in marriage, bringing the dying woman immense joy. Akane moves into Adams's mansion under a set of ground rules, including separate bedrooms and no forced conjugal rights. Adams, however, is determined to win her heart for real. He treats her with incredible kindness, decorating her room in her favorite color, purple, and providing her with luxuries she never imagined. Part 6, Healing and Confronting the Past. The couple begins to bond over shared vulnerabilities. Adams finally opens up about the horrors of his time in the army, the monsters the training turned them into, the loss of his friends to Al-Shabaab militants, and the psychological toll of war. He also shares the deep pain of his 17-year estrangement from his family. Akane, in turn, finds herself falling for him, realizing that better things could fall together after her relationship with David fell apart. To celebrate the growing connection, Adams takes Akane on a trip to Bogoria. In the intimacy of a natural spa and a shared tent, they finally consummate their relationship. Under the moonlight, Adams proposes for real, and this time, Akane gladly accepts. The peace is momentarily shattered when Akane travels to Nairobi and accidentally bumps into her ex, David. She is devastated to discover that David has been married with a child for nearly a year, meaning he was dating his now wife while still with Akane. This revelation provides her with the final closure she needs, shifting her feelings from bitterness to a total rejection of her past with him. A final hurdle appears in the form of Linda, Adams's former mistress, who shows up at their home while Akane is out. Akane walks in on a suggestive scene and, fueled by her past trauma with David, assumes the worst. It takes days of patient explanation and a wise intervention from her grandmother, who reminds her that error is to be human, and to be gentle with her husband for Akane to forgive him. Conclusion, a new beginning. The novel concludes on a note of complete reconciliation and hope. Akane and Adams now have a 6-month-old son, Adams Jr. Akane has used the money from the trees to establish the Kachieng Child's Right Organization, employing her friend Adiambo and Aoino's mother to help protect other children in the community. In the final scene, Adams's long-lost family, his father, brother Seth, and sister Val, arrives at the doorstep. His father offers a sincere apology for the past treatment of him, and with Akane's encouragement, Adams finally lets go of his bitterness and forgives them. The story ends with Adams and Akane on their porch, reaffirming their love for each other and their commitment to their new family, proving that even a small-town girl can find a happily ever after that surpasses her dreams. This summary is for educational purposes only. This audio is exclusively created for AfriSummary.com. Thank you.